It is the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Wednesday morning. It is Wildcat Wednesday as we are joined in the studio by the K-State Extension agents James Cooper and Jacob Weber. And Jacob, I think it might be the switch there. There we go. Yep, the fancy headphones do have an on and off switch. But gentlemen, welcome back in. I'm glad to have you in with us here on this Wednesday morning. James, I didn't see you last week, so did you have a good New Year's?
I did. It was real good.
Good stuff. Had a good New Year's, good holiday season as well. So now we're into the new year, and I think a good place to start with this, considering we are now almost, 20 days into the government shutdown. There's certain things that can definitely be talked about, but at the same time, we can't really do anything about right now. But certainly that farm bill is something that's been on people's minds and such like that. So, James, if you kind of wanted to go over, what you wanted to hit on with that farm bill, I'm sure our listeners will appreciate it, as well as our phone lines are open for questions for either of these two regarding the farm bill or any of the other conversations we have this morning as well. So, James?
Yeah. So, the farm bill, I mean, as most people know, the farm bill is a massive bill. I mean, it's, $867 billion. And so, it's a big deal. But about 80% of that is SNAP. So, 20% of it is what basically farmers are dealing with. It's how much that goes to farm subsidy programs and in other, actually, there's some conservation programs in there as well. And so, but really the thing that farmers need to be concentrating on is something called the ARC and the PLC. Most of them will know what that is. Basically, it's the agricultural risk coverage and the price loss coverage. And so really it's a program that they need to enter into one or the other to get some of these farm subsidies, in case of market failure or crop failure of some type. And in the, there's, we've had this in the last farm bill, the 2013, I think, farm bill. Mm-hmm. And there were some, this ARC and PLC, but this time they've changed it up a little bit. They've made it a little more logical in the way that they've put this stuff together. And so right before Christmas is when they actually passed that stuff through the House and Senate, and President signed it. And now we're beginning the implementation phase of it.
Cool. Gotcha. So is there, I mean, is it like a registration process that an individual would have to go through to get these? And is it a long process, or is it something that pretty much anybody could go and do within a day?
Yeah, no, it's not really a long process at all. You just kind of talk to your FSA office and get them, you got to get signed up for this stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we lie in that gray area, because I believe FSA offices are closed, isn't it?
Yes, so right now they're closed. But fortunately, there's plenty enough time for people to get signed up for this that closure isn't going to, hopefully the little things will get opened up in time for everything to go through.
So you mentioned some time. Is there a cutoff day specifically for it?
There normally would be. I'm not sure that there is now because of the closure. I'm sure they're going to push stuff off, and so
yeah, just kind of give everybody a little grace period, considering, like I said, almost 20 days at this point without it. So, all right. So, is there anything that maybe our listeners out there that could they obviously a couple of days to kind of prepare for it? Is there anything that preparation that would get them right, ready, in and out, make it an easy process to go through it? Any documents that they may need, or
and so. In years past, well, the last farm bill, basically when you signed up for ARC or PLC, you had to sign up for a five-year commitment. You had to be in one or the other program. And really it was kind of a toss of a coin to know which one was better for you, because you don't know what the markets are going to be. You don't know what the weather is going to be. And so this time they've kind of changed it up. So when you sign up sometime this spring, it'll only be for the next 2 years. It won't be for a five-year commitment. Then every year after that, you're going to sign up for an annual basis. And so you'll make a new election of ARC or PLC every year. Some of the other changes is more on the calculation side of it. Basically, they've kind of changed how they put those farm subsidies together, how they equate how much a farmer is going to get in a certain situation. And then there's some other things, like they've capped a payment at $125,000. They've extended it to cover extended family, which is something that it's a little controversial to do that. But the farm rates have increased. There's just a lot of other little pieces that have gone together to the farm bill. We don't actually know all the pieces yet to it. The vast majority have been set, though.
Mm-hmm. And with that as well, is it just, obviously, with the new farm bill, it's kind of reconstructing things. I'm sure you didn't read over the entire thing, but is it looking, you know, kind of more of a correct step in the right direction with it?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. This farm bill, it makes a lot more sense than the last one. Most of the same pieces are in it, but the way they're implementing it is more logical.
Yeah, just so, a little revise with that.
Yeah. Really, after they passed the last farm bill, there was a whole lot of people in the agricultural industry that came to them and said, you know, really, this needs to be this way and this way and this way. And they really took a lot of that stuff to heart to put this one together.
Yeah. And James, I'm sure as well, you've got some information with that. And if any of our listeners out there, what's a good phone number to get a hold of you and ask these questions, or any of the extension offices out there that would have that information, I'm sure. Just an easy outlet to ask some quick questions for them.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you can call the 620-724-8233 or any one of the other Wildcat district offices, and we can talk about it.
Great. All right, great. So any final notes that you wanted to add about that farm bill? Any other changes that maybe our listeners might want to know about? Or I think we did kind of hit a pretty good basis of it. Again, right now, with the shutdown being there, it's not like you could really go and apply and register for it, but we still got some time. So
Yeah, you do. And as soon as that gets opened up, you know, make sure that you're tracking all your acreages and all that, because that's stuff that the FSA office is going to know if they don't already know it. And then, you know, make sure you talk to your local officer. So
perfect. All right. Well, with that, let's just go ahead and kind of go into it. Now, Jacob, we had a call, I believe it was last week, about trying to get up and prune a pear tree. Now, I think you've got some pretty good advice on really pruning any fruit trees now that we had, you know, into January. Obviously, odd with the almost spring-like temperatures these last couple of days. But
yeah, that's right. Well, during the Christmas and New Year's holiday there, we kind of put everything on hold, and we enjoy family. And, of course, we... Christmas extends into the part we call Epiphany. But now that we're past that, now we start to look forward to 2019 production year, growing year. And there are some activities that we do during the winter months. And one of them is pruning. And folks with fruit trees, for example, pruning now is very important. We like to prune during dormancy. The dormant period is when the leaves are off of the deciduous trees and it's winter and kind of cold outside, and sometimes we have those nice days. We've actually had a fairly mild winter so far. So we can get outside and do these pruning activities. We can see the structure, the framework of the tree. We can see the wood of the tree and make it a lot easier. It's a lot easier to make those pruning decisions. And also another important factor is that during dormant period, disease transmission is very minimal. We see less likely to spread, for example, one disease that can be spread very easily, especially in the spring when the flowers are on the trees and the new shoots are coming out, fire blight and rosaceous plants like the apple and the pear. Very easy to spread that disease, and we do have in some years some serious issues with fire blight. So we do that during dormancy when the risk is very minimal. Of course, anytime we make a pruning cut, we're making a wound on that tree, and that wound needs to heal. We think about bandages. We got a wound, we got to put a band-aid on that pruning sealer. Throw that idea out because woody plants heal different than people and animals, and so we don't need to put that bandage on that wound.
They want less moisture instead of trying to almost keep it in.
Actually, the asphalt wounds closure or the pruning sealer that's typically sold can do more harm to that wound than actually any good it does. And the fact that it does seal moisture in, or it will come loose and it will trap moisture in and actually create an issue, especially on large pruning cuts, it can increase the rate of decay. Now, a small pruning wound is going to heal over in a year or two, and that pretty well the tree takes care of itself. So that means that if we're going to do pruning on fruit trees, for example, we want to make sure that those pruning wounds are fairly small. So that means that when you plant the tree, that's when you begin pruning. That's you begin that phase right at that point, and that pruning continues throughout the lifetime of that tree. We have different purposes for pruning throughout the lifetime of the tree. When that tree is young, we want to develop the framework of that tree. And the framework is going to be wide-angle scaffold limbs. Wide-angle, we mean 60 degrees off of vertical, so it comes out at a wider angle. And you think, well, why is a wider angle more important? That's because the way the wound, the wood develops in the structure of the tree, there's overlapping tissues within the trunk and the scaffold limbs. Those tissues grow and overlap each other and kind of hold each other together. And the wider the angle, the better that tissue grows and holds each other, intertwines with each other. A narrower angle, what happens is that we start getting bark inclusions and a weak spot. Now, bark inclusions, where bark gets trapped between the two branches or the two limbs, and so it separates that wood fiber and prevents them from joining together. And that makes, you know, if you're going to split something, you like to split right down the weakest point. That's where the weakest point is, and you get a little fruit load on that tree, for example, or on a shade tree, a little ice accumulation. It's going to split, and it's going to ruin the tree, or it's going to at least do enough damage that tree is going to be misshapen for quite a number of years before it actually recovers its good form. So we want to select wide-angled scaffold limbs. And the other thing is when we develop, say, for example, a fruit tree, those scaffold limbs, we don't want them to be stacked one on top of the other. We want to kind of stagger them as we go up the trunk of the tree. So we want to radiate those scaffold limbs around the trunk of the tree, kind of like spokes on a wagon wheel. And so they're not right on top of each other, and we've got a little distance in between each one of those scaffold limbs so that they're not capturing the sunlight that the one below needs. So we spread that fruit-bearing area out, we spread those limbs out, and then wide-angle limbs to support the weight of that fruit crop, and then we actually... We're kind of running out of time a little bit. We're right.
We got about 2 minutes here.
Okay, we'll keep on talking. We want to start to develop the framework of the tree early on, and then as the tree grows, we start to develop that fruit bearing area. If we let a tree grow, a fruit tree, for example, let it grow, it's going to get tall. Even the dwarf ones or semi-dwarf ones are going to get tall and get overgrown. They're going to have branches going every which way. They're going to be crowded. So what we want to do is we kind of develop a little bit of order to this framework in the fruit-bearing area of the tree. We kind of want to spread those branches out, those lateral branches that come off of the main scaffold limbs. We don't want them to go straight up or straight down. If they go straight down and underneath, then they're getting shaded. If they go straight up, they're going to go in through the and interfere with the branches up above it. So we want to eliminate those that go up or down, and we want to select those that go sideways, that go horizontal, so they can capture the sunlight. And that's a real good point that we need to probably stop on right now, so we can break for the news.
Break for the news, in fact, it is. And real quick, say you had a great production last year, and it's just like, I don't want to screw with this tree. Is this something that you have to do yearly just to kind of keep up with it?
Yearly pruning is essential, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how pretty that tree was last year. Go out and make it even better for this year.
That's
so,
right.
Well, with that, we'll maybe continue on with these conversations, as well as we've got some workshops at these two gentlemen will have to go through as well, but we'll have to wait for the 8 o'clock hour. For now, we are off to the top of the hour news break. James Cooper, Jacob Weber, they will be joining us just after this here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.